should come back for some time. You can talk all you want, like a rainbow.
Okay, pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'd like to move approval of the following minutes. Reorganization meeting on July 7th, a regular meeting also of July 7th, special meetings on July 20th and August 8th. Our first public comment session is now open. Please direct questions up here. Remember, there'll be another one at the end of the meeting. Okay, move on. Item 6, superintendent and administrative reports.
The first thing that I would like to do is, when we had the discussion with Salem, I had asked Rich Turry to come and speak towards some of the issues that they had with when they merged with the BOCE, and he was unable to speak that day, so I asked him if he would come tonight and address any problems or concerns that he saw, and if anybody has any questions for him. So I'd like to turn it over to Rich at this point.
Welcome, Rich.
Well, I'm glad you're at least looking at the possibilities, and I know it's a hot button issue. It's kind of like tackling Social Security. The difference between what we went through, our merger was mandated by the state. A little background, whenever a BOCE superintendent retires, the state does an evaluation of the next adjacent BOCEs and to see whether or not it's feasible and profitable, in a sense, to merge the two BOCEs. Tom Sobel, in 1993, directed that the Saratoga Warren BOCEs merge with the Washington, Hamilton, Essex Warren BOCEs. Now, a merger is not a sharing of facilities. Merger is not sharing bus drivers and things like that. A merger is creating a whole new organization. So our first order of business was to try and organize a new board. And believe me, that was very difficult because we had the ownership issue, the autonomy issue. People did not want to give up their identity, but we had no choice. And forming a new board was not an easy task. We had 9 members on each board. We were limited to the maximum of 15. So that's what we decided to do, was go with 15 board members. Like if you were to merge with Salem, or Quidditch Falls, and you each had 5, you could merge, you could go with 11 board members, or you could go with 9, or with 7, but some odd number of board members. What happened was, since we were maximized at 15, 3 board members were going to lose their position. And so it would be the 3 who would be coming up for re-election. And so those 3 members were out. The next issue was to try and elect the president, and that took over an hour to elect somebody because everybody was voting for their own people. But anyway, we did get that done. So anyway, the merger produced a whole different organization that was governed both among the BOCEs. So now we had a single identity of the Washington, Saratoga, Warren, Hamilton, Essex, both. We maintained the 2 major campuses. We did bring them together. The The issue was obviously transportation. It wasn't feasible to bring those two campuses together. So we maintained Dix Avenue campus and the Saratoga campus. Now, I gave you a, I don't know if you have it. We now had to reorganize our central administration, our technical career education, our special ed, our alternative ed, our adult ed, our school supplies, our transportation, and our buildings and grounds. What we did there was, if people were retiring, those positions were not filled. If people were moving for a definite employment, those positions were not filled. So that we then went through and picked the most qualified person to be in charge of whatever department that was. In some cases, people were sort of demoted, but in order to operate efficiently, nobody lost salary. I mean, everybody was safe harmless as far as salary was concerned. It took 2.5 years to get all of that organized. Each year, we reevaluate what setup we have, make changes, reevaluate, make changes, and finally, we have the organization that now we put part of those things. The real hard part, that wasn't the hard part. The real hard part is now reconciling contracts. We had two different organizations. They each had their salary contract, each had their contracts. We had to bring them together and make one contract. We had to go through policy manuals and reconcile policy manuals, regulations. Now you know the size of your policy manual. I imagine the task that it is to bring those together in one new policy manual. The people in Saratoga would have a job and it would be described one way. People in Washington Warren would have a job, exactly the same job, but described a different way. So we had to get a consensus as to what is the job description going to be. And obviously, again, that's a time issue. Salary schedules had to be reconciled. What we did was to develop a new salary schedule, and again, this took probably a year and a half, develop a new salary schedule where nobody was harmed. What we did was we had a range of salaries and then made a step for that range, and another range of salaries, another step, and fit people into those ranges. And of course, that took time with the negotiation with the unions. Believe it or not, the most difficult issue were the two unions. They would not get together and merge. They eventually had to bring somebody in from Albany to sit down and mediate with the union to form the union. Again, that took a lot of time. Seniority issues. People would have the same job, but different seniority, and we created the new positions. Obviously, the new position went with the senior person, and so on. I showed you on that list salaries in our administrative budget. The last budget that I have now is in 2006, I think it is, no, 2002, was a budget of around $800,000. We projected out, if we took the budget for Saratoga and the budget for Washington Warren, that was close to 13,000. I'm sorry. almost $1 million for that salary. And what we did was to see, you know, what kind of headway we made out. We projected that 10 years hence. And if they got nominal raises like 3% or 2.5%, that budget would have gone up to 1,500,000. The actual budget for the administration in 2002 was 880,000. So there was a savings of over 400,000. And that's not counting the savings in fringe benefits. So we're looking probably at close to $600,000 savings. You can put that over a 10-year period, and you're talking on $6 million saving just on the administrative. And that's not counting positions like director of special ed, where we had two directors and now we only have one. Superintendent of buildings and grounds, where we had two, we have one. We didn't have athletic programs, where we might have a single director of athletics for the organization. So financially, it was a real plus. And I think that if you were to merge with somebody, you may not see the as much because the organizations are different in size, but you'll definitely see a savings. We were able to increase the offerings. The kids had more choices. If, for instance, if Saratoga had a program that a kid wanted and it wasn't offered in Dix Avenue, he would go to Saratoga to get that program, or vice versa. We were able to offer new programs as kids became interested. The new visions programs, an engineering program.
Nursing.
What else did we have?
There's a nursing program with new visions. Nursing. The nursing program?
One of the biggest disappointments I had was when the hospital was still going. We tried to get them to take an LP program at Mary McClellan. We weren't interested in that because it would have provided them with probably 25, 30 LPN students that would have helped keep their hospital up. Well, anyway, do you have any questions? I think that's an overview. But I would think that.
Do you think that if the commissioner didn't step in and mandate that it was going to be a merger?
I think that's pretty much goes with the merger of school districts, too. Yeah, people don't want to lose their identity.
I mean, I really believe that eventually, looking at the way Governor Cuomo is reacting, that I think you're going to see mandated mergers. And it makes sense. I mean, you don't have, like if you were to mayor for Salem, you don't have to have one high school. Because, first of all, transportation would be a nightmare to try and, what are we, 100 square miles?
Yeah, close to that.
Yeah, we're close to 100 square miles. And I'm sure Salem is as much or more. And trying to bring them together as one would be really tough. But everything else could be one organization, one board. You go around the country, and when I was coaching down Maryland, they had county school boards and county school districts, as opposed to Elmore. But there was local representation. Well, that was the other thing on our board. We made a policy that only one board member could be represented from the district. In other words, Cambridge is only allowed to have one board member on the Boston House. You cannot have two. And that was so that the bigger schools could load up. Any other questions?
Just a comment. We did have another discussion with Hoosier Falls District and how we're just going to report on that in our session.
Anyone else?
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you. The three other things, real quick. The soccer JV and varsity met today, and they only had 8 students. They're going to need 11 to field the team, so they're going to try to beat the bushes and get a few more kids out by Thursday. If not, we'll make the decision on this.
This is boys?
Boys soccer. We knew there was going to be low because we had low numbers last year in the JV program. The survey that the board has asked about doing, we're finalizing questions. As soon as I get them finalized, I will send it out to the board to see what we're going to ask the graduates. Tammy, Andy, Aiken, and I were compiling surveys from other districts that they've used and been successful. And the last thing is the committee meetings that I had sent out. What's going now is the copy of the email where I drew upon what we had done in the past that has worked with the system of committees and the Wellness Safety Committee, Technology Committee, buildings, and we threw green as part of the buildings because most of the items that they use were going to green. We can use up what we have now that's not a green item as long as it's not toxic. And then after that, we have to go green and audit and share decision making. So we have 2-6 committees. I would like to have 2 board members on each of those committees. And then from that, have that individual report back to the board. And on the right-hand side of the column there, those are the individual staff members that have been running the committees and can be the point person for the board member. Howard's contacted me and said he'd like to be on the safety committee. I threw Paul on the wellness because that's the committee that he had already served on. But if we want 2 board members on each one because we don't want a quorum at any of the committee meetings, if we have 2 board members on each one, each committee, that's a total of 10 more positions that I need filled. So if there's any preference, please let me know so we can get that going. Yes, sir?
Technology and building.
Okay. You don't have to let me know now either if you want to think about it.
No, I thought about it.
I could take safety. And, not thrilled with the absorption of the so-called green committee. We originally called it the Energy and Conservation Committee.
There's a committee that existed that was for energy. And if you want to resurrect that one again.
Well, I think there's just off the top of my head, things like, for example, making sure that we have a good recycling program. Well, that really is not an impervious building, so I'm more concerned with structural aspects of physical plant, which a lot of it, you're right, there is a lot of opportunities there, but I just think in terms of creative solutions, it might be good to have a committee that will focus more specifically on finding ways to save energy.
Okay. Energy and green, or green and energy?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that just adds another committee and 2 more positions.
I'll jump on that. I would, in addition to wellness, I'd be happy to go on safety and shared decisions.
Okay, so it's now called the energy slash green?
Well, it was always called the, according to our goals, what we called is the Energy and Conservation Committee.
Just for my people in the audience, this was one of our goals this year, to resurrect the committee structure and make it work. Get us involved. Is this not working, Ronnie? One of our goals, stated district goals, was to resurrect the committee structure and to actually make it work, and to have people from this table on each of these committees, and to actually make sure the meetings happen and things get done. So we're doing that. So Paul, since you're willing, anything strike your fancy right now?
Well, the building is a building project that you've been having going on. I would do that. And I have to find out more about auditing before I commit to that.
We're all avoiding that.
Beth
and Vince can have that committee.
Actually, I'd like to learn a little bit more about that.
So put me on the audit.
Again, you don't have to make any final decisions today if you still want to let me know at some point. All right, I'll file, put a list together of who said they wanted to be on what, and we'll send that back out to everybody. And other than that, I was going to turn that over to Tammy for Colleen.
Okay.
I had Colleen on mine, but she has it on her report. So
you're everyone.
Everybody won.
You're everyone. I'm going to skip ahead to item number 4 on the secondary agenda and let Colleen take the floor to do her presentation regarding summer school, some things that traditionally are involved in summer school, and then some things that maybe you haven't been aware of. We actually had a girl from Lisbon, which is way out. She was staying with relatives in Hoosic Falls, so that's how we ended up with a student from so far away. But we ended up with 99 students in summer school. We lost, during the course of summer school, 4 students. One to behavioral issues and 3 to attendance issues. Once you get to ninth grade, New York State demands a certain number of minutes that you're actually in the seat in front of the teacher in order to gain credit for that course in a remedial sense. And so we had 3 students who, and we work really hard to make up time with students. We do all kinds of things to make it happen and make them be successful. And we had 3 that just fell well outside the parameters of anything that we could then do to help them meet success in summer school. So we had lots of students come in and take the regions. What we did this year as well as last year, and I gave you a copy of the brochure, a copy of our behavior and attendance policy code, and then I gave you a copy of a letter that we sent home. All the students who come in and take the regions exam, you can sign up just to take the regions. If you fail the regions or you want to better your score on the regions exam, you can come in and take it in August. And so what we did was we opened our classes, our summer school classes, that were regions level classes, the last week of summer school, and said any student who is coming in to take integrated algebra could come into the class as a review class the week before the exam. So if they were working on their own at home or really had good intentions of working on their own at home to prepare for the exam and it got away from them, they had an opportunity to come in and meet for a week with a teacher face-to-face as part of the class to kind of refresh themselves and get ready to take the exam. For the first time ever, this year, Cambridge offered the opportunity for students from other districts to take the regions. If they weren't enrolled in summer school, in the past we've only let kids who are enrolled in the classes take the regions here. This year we opened it up for a $25 fee. They could sign up just to take the regions exam. We dealt with state ed and the new answer sheets and all the complications. And then we scored the exams and sent those results back to the home districts. So that was a really nice thing. For lots of kids to be able to take those tests.
Colleen, $25, does that cover your costs?
It covers basically what happens is you can't charge your own students, you can only charge out-of-district students. And our teachers get, for a non-essay-based test, they get $6 to score it. And we're giving the test anyway, so we have proctors anyway. So it really is not a cost issue. The reason you charge is because otherwise you have kids sign up and then not show up. So it gives them an incentive to actually show up. And that's one of the reasons both Hoosic Falls and Salem was not offering the regions this year, because they had so many students sign up in the past and then nobody shows up on the day, and they have all these proctors and all these teachers set up to score and no exams. Whereas since we have them as the final exam for summer school, we have kids who are going to be taking it anyway. So it just kind of extends that opportunity and really at little cost to us. After that page is where you're going to get to the exciting part. This was something brand new this year, thank you to Mr. Canini. Last year he started talking to me about the that he wanted the chance for us to look at non-remedial programs. Summer school has always been for the kids who failed. And he said, you know, we're a small community, the school is the center of our community, what can we do to offer things to kids who didn't fail? Things that kids could do to go beyond rather than just catch up. So what we put together was we put something out to teachers and asked anybody interested if they wanted to teach a course to submit a proposal, which these courses did: supervised agricultural experience, cycling, Celtic mythology, the power of cinema, crime scene science, hiking, and we put that out to the kids in April, March or April. And we had a 10-student minimum. We wouldn't run a class with less than 10 students. So we actually ended up running three classes this summer. We ran a cycling course, a hiking course, and the crime scene science course. And they were very successful. We ended up with, we had more kids sign up. If they didn't come every day, they couldn't earn the credit. And so you'll see on the back of the first page, we had 9, 8, and 9 students earn the quarter credits for those courses that they were eligible for. So that was a pretty good thing. And on the back page, you'll see, I also included a couple pages of pictures of our hikers and cyclists, and they did some orienteering. There's also some pictures of, you can't see it really well, which is probably good. It was blood splatter for the crime scene science group. And we did evaluations, and I took student comments from the evaluations to share with you on the back page. Those were some of the things they said about these courses and whether or not they would take them again, what they liked about them, what they didn't. The third thing that we offered, besides these quarter credit courses, and we offered them last summer as well, was what we called AP Boost Camp. It was an opportunity for AP teachers who wanted to immerse their students during the summer, get them ready, kind of see where they were at, give them some exposure to some of the materials and what it would be like. And so we ended up having our calculus class and our AP Global History class meet with students over the course of several weeks. They had different days, and those student comments are also in there. And that was a success again this year, and the students felt it really helped them kind of get their feet on the ground, especially our global history students who are ninth graders, and it's the first year they're taking an AP class, so they really don't know what to expect. Lastly, I'd like to close with plans for next year, hopefully. Mr. Romack had approached me about the idea of a science class in addition to the forensics, and Shay was all excited, Shay Price, who ran the forensics class, about doing a survival course next summer, and there's all kinds of possibilities, and people are very excited. So one of the things we talked about is how we can make it more advantageous for our community at large, besides just our student population. And so I contacted SUNY Adirondack, which is formerly ACC, had a great conversation with the woman up there who does high school to college credit arrangement. And it looks like we're going to investigate the idea of running some of these courses as SUNY Adirondack courses for 50, any student, then any high school student who wanted to take it for college credit would pay $50 a credit hour. So for $150, you could take a 3-credit course on the college level. But it wouldn't preclude us to only offer college credit. Kids could take it for free for just high school credit or partial credit. Adults from the community could take these courses, either for college credit or just to audit the course. So it opens up a whole slew of possibilities and maybe more reasons why kids, if you can earn 3 college credits for $150, why they might be interested in taking the courses. So we're in the process of looking through the SUNY Adirondack catalog, matching what we could offer or have offered. They have a hiking course, so we could probably offer a gym credit and run a course similar to the one we did this year. They also have a golf course, which I'd love to talk to Mr. Luke about. So there's lots of other, they didn't have the cycling course, but there's lots of other possibilities, and Mr. Romack's going to look at the science catalog to see where it fit in the zoology. There was a zoology class.
They have a zoology class, but what I had suggested to you, which I thought might go beyond just our students, would be also the community members and also the teachers, mm-hmm. because we need to do some in-service training of teachers
yep.
to have a repertoire of facts and activities they can do with their students. So I had suggested to you, Colleen, that we may be able to initiate a field natural history course so that we would cover all the taxa of vascular, non-vascular plants, all the macro and large invertebrates and vertebrates,
mm-hmm.
and then do that over a 3-week period and open it up to high school kids, let's say 10th, 11th, and 12th, community members who might be mm-hmm. interested in paying a fee, perhaps, or particularly teachers from other districts and our own who might want to come in here and have some training so that when they have a biology course or a elementary class that's doing ecology or one thing or another, they simply get to know the trees, the insects, the reptiles, the amphibians, the whole nine yards, and teachers are just not coming out of college anymore with that kind of information. And unfortunately, the kids are being rewired with all this technology, and I think that kind of a course could be very helpful for many, many reasons. And I agree with you. I think you're really on the right track.
So hopefully that'll be the direction that we go in, and we'll be able to benefit more kids in the community. Any questions?
Thank you.
The first thing after Colleen's presentation, student agenda books and passbooks. I gave you each a copy of the new agenda book that will be distributed to all secondary students. In the past, it's been for 7th and 8th graders, and then last year we did expand it to be 9th through 12th graders. In that agenda book, obviously, is a place where they keep track of assignments and things like that, but there's also a pass system built in. Students will be expected to use that pass system. It will be a way for teachers to be more aware of the frequency that students are in the halls or visiting the restroom or going to their lockers. It does allow for students to use or to get pre-signed passes from teachers who need to see them at a particular period, maybe for extra help. But students will be using those passbooks as a means of hopefully cutting down on some of the hall traffic. In addition, the board policy, the 5300 behavior code, is in that, and you'll see that it's kind of interspersed. I didn't want students just ripping out the passbook and using that. I wanted them to keep the whole book. So the behavior code is in there, the new passbook system is in there, as well as the general assignment tracking that students are used to having. There are also two forms in there. I think they're pages 55 and 61. Those are the sign-offs for the internet, the acceptable use policy, and also the sports and extracurricular activities participation agreement is in there. There's one copy for students and families to retain so they have it as a reference, what they signed and what they were agreeing to, and then one that will be collected by homeroom teachers so that we have their internet permission and also their permission to participate in extracurricular activities. We have also talked about the opt-out letter for use of photographs on the website and other ways that we use them in the school district to be part of that agenda book next year. So we're already starting to look at, you know, what else can be added, how else can we use the agenda book for more clear communication and to just keep things a little bit more tight in terms of hall traffic. Because I found that to be a little bit loose, so hopefully this will help. Student schedules for 7th through 12th graders were mailed today. They should be hitting homes in the next couple of days, and I expect that students will be coming in. They not only have their list of classes, they will also have in that schedule their locker and locker combination. So I invited students to come in, put things in their lockers, walk their schedules, walk the halls. We may even see some upperclassmen coming in with the renumbering of rooms, just so they're familiar of where, you know, where room 212 is now. It wasn't room 212 last year. So hopefully we'll start seeing kids trickle in the next few days to get into their lockers, set their lockers up, and also kind of walk their schedules and just be in the building. So I'm looking forward to having students back in. It'll give Mr. McFarland an opportunity to meet some of our kids, which he hasn't had much of an opportunity to do yet because they've been home. Summer curriculum work. We had 55 days awarded. We did have requests for more than 55 days, and those requests really spanned all the disciplines. For instance, we had 9 days in foreign language, and we had days for business and tech and music and art. And those curriculum days were used to either research some new things that are coming out. In particular, I'm thinking of English, did a lot with Common Core standards and what the expectations are versus how those mesh with the state and New York State standards. I found that the curriculum requests that were made this year were much more substantial than just, you know, working on a lesson plan or working on a unit. They were really broad umbrella kind of concepts. So that curriculum work will be wrapping up. Paperwork is due to my office by Friday. And as I said, we had 55 days awarded and almost double that in requests. We had a lot of teachers who wanted to work on the new things that are coming out in terms of what the expectations are, particularly with Common Core standards. The last item I have are just, the last item is just a list of some things that are coming up. Obviously, Superintendent's Conference Days is the 1st and the 6th of September. Students will be back in the building full-time September 7th, and we have scheduled our open house for Thursday, October 6th. So information regarding the open house will be posted on the website. I think it may have gone up today, and obviously there will be a mailing home as we get a little bit closer to that date. So just wanted to give families a little advance warning when that was going to be. Questions?
Just to clarify, too, one thing she mentioned, we're renumbering the rooms because we have to do ADA signage. And when we had Chief Bell and the rescue squad and all the different emergency squads, one classroom that they had used as part of their demonstration had a 125 on the door and also had the remnants of 123. And the phone number to the room was 652. So what we're trying to do is get them all in alignment. We've gone around and tried to sand off the old numbers. We're starting from the main entrance or the elementary entrance and going toward the secondary, just like a street, even on the right, not on the left, starting with 100. So it's going to be a 3-digit through the secondary. If you go left toward the elementary, it'll be double digits and the same thing. It'll be left, will be odd, right will be even, it'll go around. It makes more sense. 126 will not be across the hall from 136. And we're trying to make it much easier to find. The center hallway will be the 130 wing, so if we're looking for a specific wing like that, we'll know. And the same thing upstairs, starting from the main entrance, if you go upstairs, that'll be 200, and it'll work itself down. Where there's no classroom on one side of the hall or the other, we will skip that number, so we get 2 across the hall from 3, and so on. So it should make it much easier to find where people need to go.
What room is this?
This will be room 80. What we did was we went down the hall all the way and then looped it around and came down the fifth grade wing to the sixth grade and came up. So we've always tried to do one continuous motion. So this will be room 80. It'll take a while. The kids will get it quicker than the adults, I'm sure.
Would you like me to go?
Yeah, you can go.
On my board report, I attached a kind of a generic overview of the summer curriculum projects, and I do have to agree with Tammy that the requests were much more core curriculum based. A lot of teachers wanted to work on the new core standards and starting the transition. We do have the 2-year period to do that. Also, Heather Gwynn is moving to grade 1, so she is awarded days to do that, to transition from a new grade level. Two grade levels, grade 5 and grade 2, are working with a new edition of the math text, so they're granted days to begin working on that. And the new math series is coming with the Common Core, so it's been almost a a day-by-day with the publisher of new information, and the teacher's manual isn't printed yet. And they can't get it out until this week. So it's been to the wire with summer curriculum projects. I also attached the discipline report for the elementary school for the 10-11 school year, which is similar to the discipline report that Mrs. Silvernell presented last meeting. It's based on referrals. And I know there's been some talk about how we handle, or how we will be handling, bullying. And I think what we'll need to do is a little bit of a cleanup on the discipline reporting, so that we can get a more targeted number for bullying and harassment. And Lucy Lozon and I are working on that for September with the teachers. Students in grade 5 moving to grade 6 and grade 6 moving into grade 7 took part in summer science programs. The grade 5 to 6 students took part in the summer science lab enrichment program. Mr. Romack facilitated with the help of Mr. Waite and Mrs. McKeegan, and they had a nice 3-day program. And it also goes in line with what Colleen McDonald was talking about, training the teachers to do the lab work. And also the students, grade 6 going into grade 7, took part in the summer science enrichment. And this year, for the first time, it was Brenda Mugitz and Nancy Stefanovich, who's a teaching assistant. And I just saw Brenda Mugitz out at the kindergarten potluck, and she just beamed from ear to ear. She said she had a wonderful time, and she looks forward to next year. Also this year, we included, I believe it was 6 students from Salem, Mr. Romack?
I'm sorry?
How many students from Salem did you have?
We had six students from Salem.
Okay, so we started that process of including students from other districts. Summer reading program concluded on August 4th. There were 30 students this year, and attendance was good. We've had concerns for that program for the past couple of years, only because the CYC program isn't here, so daycare can be an issue, but we had a nice number and good attendance this year. Starting in September, our teachers in grade 3 through 6 will start using electronic report cards, which is new for them. They've been doing it at the high school for a number of years, and then in the following school year, we'll move K through 3. And that's going to be a necessity with the new APPR, that everything is online and recorded that way. Tonight was the kindergarten family potluck. It was very well attended. It was enjoyable. It rained only a little bit. As I walked out with Brenda Mugitz carrying some iced tea, I said, you know, this is my third potluck and it's never rained. Sure enough, I got out there and it rained. And I also included the enrollment as of 8/17 in my board report. And that is my board report. Any questions?
What is that enrollment number?
459 is the total. Kindergarten is 61.
Okay.
First grade, 66. Second grade, 59. Third, the same, 59. Fourth grade is 67. Fifth grade, 69. And interestingly, sixth grade, 78. We still have a good number of students in sixth grade.
Have all the UPK students been in? Mm-hmm.
Well, 18 were placed. One had to beg out today because they do not live in the district. So we have.
You know, if they've been entered into it.
Oh, if Chris has entered them as registrar? Yeah. Probably. There's so
I
add 18.
I think they're in there.
So they're in there?
They're not in my total, though.
Right. But I think they're in our. They think they're in school tool.
They're in school tool, but not in this account. At 18.
All right, because there was no July meeting, we have two treasurer's reports. The first one in June, you can see we end with a healthy cash balance. If you go to the last page of revenues, it shows amount uncollected over $700,000. Because this is cash basis, over $500,000 has been accrued. And as I reported at the midterm, my midterm report, we were down over $200,000 in revenues due to various, mostly state aid. July was a slow month, very little activity. As you can see, very little cash comes in, a lot of cash goes out. So I'll start getting my accruals in August and September. So there's really not too much there. The next thing we need to do is to set the tax rate. We have the spreadsheet. Without the library, the true value tax rate is at $13.33. The library is 7 cents, for a total of $13.40. This is up from $12.69 from the previous year. Is that something you want to do as an action item now, Vince, or do you wait, or just wait? All right. Is there any questions on the tax levy? I'm not seeing GASB 54 in here. Did that not make it? Or am I just not finding it?
Oh,
they
got it separate.
Oh, they got it separate?
Yeah.
Okay. GASB 54. GASB stands for Governmental Accounting Standard Board. They changed the classification of fund balance. Typically, in the past, you had your reserves, your appropriated fund balance, which would be next year's, that you appropriate to balance next year's budget, and then your unappropriated, with a maximum legal limit of 4% of next year's budget. They've now changed that to 5 different criteria or classifications. They're non-spendable, restricted, committed, assigned, and unassigned. Basically, what we had for reserves have now become restricted. We had the reserve for unemployment, reserve for retirement contribution, and reserve for debt. The reserve for encumbrances, they did away with, and that now becomes part of your assigned appropriated fund balance. These are purchase orders that are carried over into the next year. So I don't have the spreadsheet in front of me because I thought it was going to be my board packet. Basically, you can see where we started last year. The 2.6 million is where we ended.
Is that what you're looking for?
Right,
that's
yeah.
You want it?
Yeah, if I would, please. Yeah. As you can see, we started the year with 2.6 million in fund balance. We've ended the year at 2.6 million in fund balance. Fortunately, we only had to use roughly 16,000 of the 425 we appropriated last year's budget. So that's good, but we had to appropriate 1.1 million to balance next year's budget. So when we did have 1.5 million in reserves, we're now down to 740,000 in reserves. I was able to increase the what used to be the unappropriated fund balance from 511,000 to 708,000. And that's monies that can be used at our discretion for basically emergency, special ed, or something happened, like struck by lightning, I guess, something like that. We could use those monies. Are there any questions about these change of classifications? And I really don't know why they did it. GASB 3445, I understood. I don't know why, where they're going with this. Vincent mentioned maybe an easier way to access the reserves, but.
They were setting it up where a lot of school districts had a big, very large EBLAR fund. That's the post-retirement contributions. And I think this is the way that they were getting to get to that for those districts. Because once it's in a reserve, technically you can't take it out of the reserve. It's got to be spent for the purpose that it's set up for.
And that's all I have. I do have a couple little tidbits. We were able to, we had to do some borrowings. The band borrowing for the buses came in at 1.12%, and the Excel borrowing came at 0.95%. So it is a favorable time to borrow money.
A band is a bond anticipation note. Usually a short-term borrowing. so it's not into the whole long 15 years at this point.
Right.
Any questions for Beth?
I've mentioned this to Vince before, Beth. I just would appreciate this coming fall being kept up on anything at all regarding budget information, as trivial as it may seem.
Sure.
We need to keep us informed as to what's going on. So we all know it's going to be a tough year.
Right. The budgeting process is going to be starting right now in September. It probably used to not start till November, December, mm-hmm. because I'm going to a conference Thursday in Plattsburgh on the property tax cap. It's being put on by the comptroller's office. So hopefully start to learn. You know, there's, you know, do you include omitted taxes with your 2%? Just so many questions that they haven't addressed.
Please keep us informed to the best of your ability.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can you repeat those bus bond
numbers? 1.12% and 0.95, so less than 1%. And that was the Excel, 1.9 million borrowing.
Oh, that's the Excel?
That's the Excel.
Excel was 1.9, right? Or 0.95.
The 0.95.
You haven't done it yet for the 8 million.
No.
Well, the resolution that's in the board packet, we're not going to be borrowing the money right now. That's from bond council. We'd like to have that all in place. So if it is a favorable market, we can go out and get the money for it. But as of right now, there's no anticipation of borrowing any of that money for the $8 million project. But we have to have it all in place, because usually what happens is you have a week until the board meeting, and then you got to advertise it and do all that stuff within a certain number of days. So if we have it already, if it is favorable, we can jump on it. The 0.95 is really a good bond or band, and that we were supposed to bond it, right? And we went for another band.
Right, that's
because
what
I thought. A better market for the band as opposed to
advice, on advice of Bernie Donegan, right?
Anything else?
Okay, board reports. I'd like to start something like a little bit out of order. We had made we wanted to discuss board size and terms. How do we all propose going about doing that? We should schedule a special meeting, make it part of a board.
It can be a discussion at any time. Right now it's just a discussion item, so it's not an action or anything.
Okay. I guess I'd like to get it on an upcoming meeting as part of the discussion.
Well, that was one of the topics, too, that Rich and I talked about, the length of the board terms. I don't know. Do you have any insight for the terms?
You remember?
I do.
You remember?
I do.
Actually, it's ironic that Bart was here, but I'm here because when I first was on board, the first term, it was a five-year term. And we thought it was the way to do it before we did. One of the things in the beginning was the third year of your term, you became the vice president of the board. The fourth year of the term, you became the president of the board. And what we felt was it gave everyone on the board the opportunity to be a leader. It gave them more experience as a board member. We thought a three-year term was just too short. First of all, because it takes you a couple of years just to know what your function is as a board member, you know, what you can and cannot do, what influence you do and do not have, and that kind of thing. And just we just thought it made sense to have a five-year term. But at that time, there were a lot of issues that got everybody upset, which is, I think, the reason you got it wrong.
Yes.
If I had my brothers, it'd be a five-year term. And I spent 26 years on the post two separate terms.
See, that's always been my contention, the consistency in staying the 25 years or whatever. If we can do something like that.
Let's put it on the agenda for discussion. Okay. So I think your arguments for and against would be for increasing the size of the board to 7 and increasing the length of the term to 5. Or any other suggestions? 4 or 16 or whatever you want.
We can just have that as a discussion.
Discussion.
The composition of the board.
Okay.
If there's something that you think of that's better.
Okay. We had, I don't know if you guys thought about it, the issues list that we asked Vince to keep us informed about various things that are going on in school on a more formal basis. He sends us weekly reports, and we had a list from last year. And I said you guys revised it or added anything or subtracted anything. Vince, I think this pretty much holds with the exception that we have a 2000 project kicking in. Keep us informed about that one. I made a list to you guys. As far as academic, the reading writing program, which is going to be onward and upward this year, that kind of stuff, curriculum mapping information. Budget and finance, I just mentioned to Beth, I mean, what I'm interested in. Physical plant, the Excel wrap-up, $100,000 project, the capital project will be progressing.
Yes.
And then the ongoing concerns about building maintenance and cleanliness. And then we have contract negotiations ongoing, and of course, tenure and staff information.
I just, in line with what Tom is saying, I'm very interested in curriculum mapping and differentiated learning for students, and we need to have a discussion about those two things in particular. I'd also like to thank Colleen over here for helping get the summer science program and the lab program arranged. We did have 56 kids involved from 2 grade levels, and 4 teachers were trained and participated in the program. Vince, I wanted to thank you also and Beth for helping us with those checks that came right down to the last wire. I have receipts for those, by the way, before I get with you. The 5th grade kids were superb. I mean, there were 22 students took part for 3 days in 18 different hands-on earth science, physical science, and life science laboratories. And some of those kids are really worthy of being challenged when they go into 7th grade science, for sure. The 6th grade program is a transitional program for summer science kids. John Tully and I started that about 25 years ago. We had 33 kids involved in this summer's program. We did various kinds of science outdoor activities with them. And then the last day at the Salem Fish and Game Club, we had 7 local people come in and talk to the kids about their expertise in science. Alan Dupuy from the New York Health Department came in, and we set up mist nets up on the batting field the night before, and talked to some Canada warblers and ovenbirds and assorted kinds of critters to show the kids how we drew blood. And we talked about the onslaught of West Nile virus and also this new equine encephalitis. There are 5 confirmed animal cases in Western New York, and 1 little girl died from it this summer. So many of these creatures are moving into our area. We're seeing a slight increase in degree days. It's about 1990. And many, many invasive plants and animals were talked about by a very good friend of mine, Steve Sanford from DEC, who runs the invasive species unit for the state. We had Steve Butts come up and did some water testing with the kids. I carried a little bit of a lab out in the Batten Kill with our permits to look at the macroinvertebrates in the river. The kids had a key to identify these things by pictorial key. We had Ted Byrne fill in for our fly fishing this year. Ted is a great guy and did a really nice job with the kids, explaining to them how he matches the hatch on the river. So it was, I think, a very successful 2 weeks for kids, and I certainly hope that we'll be able to replicate it again next year. But a lot of this, of course, hinges on the budget, and I know that it's going to be a very contentious time for all of us. I don't know if this is the time to talk about this, but I'd like to also mention this meeting with Hoosier Falls. Can I do that?
Yes, yes.
We had, Tom and I went to a meeting with Mr. Fassine and some of his board members, and so Lillian was there, and Vince, and we discussed shared services with Hoosier Falls and didn't get into too much of the consolidation aspect of that, because Hoosier Falls made it pretty clear from the get-go that they were not interested in talking about that, at least not yet. but it was an extremely, I think, a very positive meeting. We talked a lot about how we could share a variety of services, and at that point, Ken jumped in and said, boy, you'd like to send some kids up here in the summer science programs. But we talked a little bit about how we could improve academics in both schools to prepare kids for college, teaching them perhaps in the summer real-world subjects, much as Colleen's trying to do. We talked about how there might be some savings in the special ed departments in both schools, how we might be able to do some collaborative teacher development, which I think is really important for teachers to have an ongoing kind of in-service program. Hoosick Falls is not constrained by BOCES as we are. In other words, I don't mean confined or constrained by BOCES, but they don't adhere to the same BOCES we do. So we talked a little bit about how we might be able to have some centralized services between the two schools. So I thought it was a very, very productive meeting, and I hope that it's going to go somewhere and we can be able to continue these talks down the road. Very, very good job on Tom's part by setting all this up.
The next step was to have the principals and superintendents get together. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest obstacles has always been scheduled class times and things, and that would be number one hurdle, and then get back to us. And
we've exchanged schedules already by email, and they said probably the end of September, early October.
I think the fact that Colleen and Jane Lurie from Salem, the principal of Salem, were pretty closely together to get that thing straightened out. We weren't absolutely sure till the very end how many kids were going to come, but they did manage to get those kids down here, and their principal drove those kids down every day.
And they take part in the literacy program as well.
Yeah, good.
So that was a real positive. Real positive. Lillian, did you have any comment about that?
No, I thought it was fun.
Okay. I had one more thing to just point out from the newspaper before I turn it over to Paul and Lillian. I noticed our winter regents are being funded by philanthropists. Mayor Bloomberg and a few other people apparently kicked in, what, a couple mil?
1.5, I think.
Yeah.
We're still not sure exactly what they're offering. Those mm-hmm. those details aren't out there yet.
That's what the New York State school system has come to.
Well, they had cut back on some of the exam offerings already. So when they did away with them totally and they're coming up with 1.5, that's not going to fund all of the old exams. So we don't know at this point what exams that is actually funding. But I thought it was interesting, too, because what happens next year? They're going to have to come up with more money.
Year to year.
But it helps our kids this year.
Well, I just want to say thanks to Howard for his excellent work this summer with the science program. Colleen has left, but I want to thank her, too, for a fantastic summer program, both the remedial and enrichment portion of it. I'm really glad that we're able to do that. I think it's a wonderful thing. A lot of districts are losing those programs, and you know, I'm glad we're still holding on to ours. And finally, I'd like to thank the administrators for an ongoing excellent job. Looking forward to the start of another great year. That's why we're here, so can't wait to get that started. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I saw this in the paper the other day, and the headline was Scores Drop Within School. And they were talking about the exams that they have to take on these subjects off through school. And we were one of five schools in the area that met all the standards. And I thought that was really impressive because there were a lot of schools that did not.
We'll have an academic report next month. Give you more details at that point, but thank you for pointing that out. That was a nice job.
Put a big smile on my face when I see breakfast.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else from people up here? Okay. There is no old business. We'll move on to new business. I'd like a move approval of the consent agendas as listed in the consent agenda for personnel. The consent agenda for new business, including two items on the agenda. So, any discussion of any of these items? I'm sorry, give me a second.
What are we doing?
Yeah, I just have.
Anyway, let's get a second. Let's get a second first. Howard, come on, second.
Second.
Okay.
Number A. I didn't have a. Doing number B?
Yes, we're still on the B.
Oh, okay. All right. No questions.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, item B, recommend the board approve change order number 3-05 for credit of unused field allowance from Comali Group Incorporated in the amount of $4,600.
That's going to explain that. Okay.
All right, the Comali contract had an initial allowance of $10,000. I went to construction.com. Contingency allowance. A specified sum included in the contract sum to be used at the owner's discretion and with his approval to pay for any element or service that was unforeseen or that is desirable but not specifically required of the contractor by the construction documents. Initially, Comali's contract was about $350,000. So the $10,000 small sum is what they used for these unforeseen conditions. They did one change order, the amount of $5,400, which was a deduct, so we actually used the money, for all labor, materials, and equipment required to substitute 2400 series wire mold in lieu of the originally specified 700 series. Not being an electrician, I'm not sure what that means, but it sounds like an upgrade in wiring, a stronger, durable.
The wire mold.
I think it's from the drops, the tech drops.
They were two. Came down, and that wasn't.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is the actual. Okay.
So that went to that. Okay.
And that was $5,400. That left $4,600. So now Comali is actually giving that money back to us. It's now back into the pot, if you will, of the Excel project. You're welcome.
Okay. So this is not a spending money.
No, it's coming back.
It's coming back to us, yes.
Okay. Anybody have objections to taking money back? All those in favor? Okay. Recommend board approve the following resolution to accept the agreement between Christopher Keenan and Cambridge Central School District. Second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, item D. Recommend approval of the following bond resolution dated August 18, 2011. A resolution authorizing the issuance of $8,037,000 serial bonds in the Cambridge Central School District, Washington, and Rensselaer Counties, New York, for the reconstruction and alterations to the school district's K-12 school building, and to engage in site work on school district property, and to acquire original furnishings, equipment, or apparatus required for the purpose for which the school district's buildings are intended to be used in said school district. Need a second.
Second.
Any discussion? Now, this is in anticipation of
we're not borrowing yet. This is giving us permission to borrow when we have to.
Okay. And we are assuming we will eventually have to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, it's said here to refer to section 4. 33.
And this is attached to this
municipal finance company. This is just giving permission for them to do that. I don't know if Vince or Beth
is going to. The Bernie Donegan. We'll be entering in a contract for them to be our financial advisors, and they will. Precipitate this and do this on our behalf and all the filings and, you know, they put it out to bid. They're the best company in the state.
It was number 7.
I was going to say probably even, point. Right.
It's like EF1 when he speaks. I'd like to have him come and talk to you guys at some point just so you can understand what he's an old-time guy that has been around and the state usually contacts him if they're going to change anything. How to finance and what the Excel and everything. So they're basically getting his interpretation of it prior to them even doing anything. He has the financial business, so it only makes sense to go with the best. He's not outrageously expensive. As a matter of fact, he's cheaper than some of them. So it's not that it's inexpensive.
This is what D is more the legal aspect of
yes.
The resolution. And that comes, the Bernie Donegan part comes later because we'll be entering a contract with him. That's I. So it's kind of being mixed together.
Any other questions regarding the bond? This,
All those in favor?
Aye.
No opposed. Recommend the board approve a budget transfer in the amount of $29,302.99 to cover the negative balance in tuition due to a change in school placement. And second?
Second.
And then this is a student who...
This is just mostly a shakeout of all the private versus BOCES placements at year end, but when we encumbered funds. And it also has to do with when the state changed the 2080, the maintenance with the out-of-state placement. We have a special ed student who's in a residential setting. It was that the county would pay 80%, we were 20%. In March, they changed the law, made it retro to January, saying that we're now at 38.4%, and that was, I think, roughly between 10 and 14,000, I forget now, it was months ago. And then we had kids that moved into the district, moved out of the district, and it's just the budgetary transfer following all the expenses.
The one thing that she did mention, just to point out, we did our budget in April, voted on it in May. The following March, in the middle of our school, well, toward the end of our school year, the state makes a decision that we're going to change the funding that you're already prepared to receive and make it retroactive back to January. So it was something that was unbudgeted from that standpoint. But there's all sorts of things with this. We have students that come in and out during the year. There's even DSS placements in this too.
Right, now there's two foster placements for a short period of time, but it's, again, that's an unbudgeted item.
This is just a tidying up.
Exactly, thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
No opposed. Now we get to meet the stranger in the room. Item F, recommend the board approve the following resolution. On the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, move the approval of the appointment of Kyle McFarland to a 3-year probationary appointment as associate 7 through 12 principal in the tenure area of associate 7 through 12 principal commencing August 8, 2011 and ending August 7, 2014 with a salary of $75,000 plus a master's and $7,500 for CSE chair. And pursuant to the agreement by and between the Board of Education of the Cambridge Central School District, Cambridge Administrators Association, and Mr. McFarland. Need a second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tom Walski.
Nice to meet you.
Sir.
I was going to introduce you after the board meeting.
Sorry. The privileges of being board president. Item G, recommend the board adopt the following resolution, and we'll explain it after we read it, I guess. Public officers loss. Do I have to?
This is what you asked Jeff to look
right.
into.
Yeah.
We never passed it here. It's okay. Just covered under our insurance. This goes above and beyond the insurance.
We need a discussion for our edification again and for the audience. I'm just going to recommend the board adopt the following resolution, which is Public Offices Law, Section 18 resolution. And do you guys care if I don't read it? It's in the minutes. Thank you. Let's get a second and then let Vince explain it again. Second from Howard.
It basically is if you act within your scope of authority as a board member, that you will not incur any expenses of anybody you sue or whatever. It goes above and beyond what we have in the insurance, but it also goes to as well to the employees. So it protects all of the individuals in the school. This is what, when we did the board workshop, Jeff had mentioned, we never adopted that we could find. We've never adopted. Once you adopt it, it's
there
forever.
Okay. So. All those in favor?
Aye.
No opposed. Item H, recommend approval of the tax rate as per attached pages 3.12 and 3.13. And those are the numbers Beth gave us before.
Which was what? $17.33, yeah. 7 cents for the library, for a total of $13.40.
Do we have any discussion of this information? What does this tell me about my taxes going up in Jackson?
Jackson? You're only going up 0.5%?
White Creek always dropped. I don't know how they do that.
It all goes on the share of the district. Yeah. And depending on what happens, they've got to get individuals. No, they went up in utilization. White Creek went up in equalization, Salem went up in equalization, Jackson went up, Cambridge went up.
One year in the distant past, when I was on the board back in the 90s, my taxes went up 13% in Jackson and went down 2.something% in White Creek, which I never figured out to this day.
There's
many times I've heard the explanation. Okay. any further questions? Discussion? All those in favor? Aye. We have to sign something?
Yes, we have to sign the warrant.
Okay. Item I, recommend the board approve the following resolution to appoint Bernard P. Donegan Incorporated as financial advisors for the $8,037,000 capital project and all other financial matters as proposed in their letter dated August 4th, 2011 for the Cambridge Central School District. Need a second?
Second.
It would be nice to get Bernie down here. Okay.
I'll reach out to Karen. Start with Karen. Sure.
Yeah. He was at a meeting many, many years ago. Yep. It's impressive, though.
Yes. He heard, whenever he speaks, like I said, it's a but everybody listens to him.
Especially with all the financial bickering we're going to be having over the coming yep. months. I'm sorry, discussion. all those in favor? Wake up, guys.
Why aren't we getting people that are local to do this? But we have two contracts in there, and neither one of them are local. And I know you said that this time we're going to wait around.
Yeah. Usually with the financial, is a, usually do RFPs, request for a proposal, and whoever comes in at the lowest, you can take an individual when it's an RFP, better even if they're not the lowest one. But Bernie has been the advisor here for years. I've worked with him for years, and I would strongly recommend staying with him. But the other one you're talking about, what is it, LG White, the next one. That was part of the bid process when we got $100,000 and they came in the lowest. Now in a bid process, it's totally different. You're not taking a professional service. It's supposedly equal. And if everything is equal, then you legally have to go with the lowest bid, and no one locally is lower.
Okay, we'll deal with that right now. Item J, recommend the board approve the following resolution to approve the contract agreement between the Cambridge Central School District and LG White & Sons Incorporated as accepted at the June 27, 2011 special meeting in reference to the $100,000 project. Second from Howard. Further discussion, or you got your question stated out?
Yeah, but it's not 100,000, it's only the 144.
What we had done, 144, they came in as the lowest bid at 144, but we did adopt it right away, the change order to get it under 100,000, because 100,000 was all we were going to get reimbursed for. So it is under, it's technically called a $100,000 project.
Doors and hardware is what I've been calling it, yeah.
It's under 100,000.
I think it's 97,495 off the top of my head.
And we approved 144,000 with the proviso that they were going to immediately change.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have another public comment session. We bore you to tears? No. Good, boy. We were successful. We've done good. That's it. I move you then. Second from Howard. I still have to get to sign something.
Four.
I'm going to see.
office.
Oh, I know Peggy McFarland.
That's
sure.
Peggy and George. That's my mom.
George McFarland, he's a fisherman, my dad.
So,
yeah, I know all those people.
She heard I got the job.
Well, now I know I can get after it.
When she heard I got the job, she did cry. She's like, I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you.
Good to see you.